were listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and you know how much I love Fridays. Good morning, everyone. This is Bob Arthurs from the Refresh Radio Program in Merritt Assembly of God. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're going to be spending the next half hour with you here on WMIE talking about the Word of God. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 6. And the latter part of chapter 5, first part of verse number 6. But I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. We would be honored if you were able to worship with us. It's always a privilege whenever we receive, you know, phone calls, or we've had, you know, people that visited the office when they were in the area. Attend service. We've had people from the radio program that have become active in our church, and a number of people have been promoted from Merritt Assembly of God into the worship that goes on without stopping in the presence of Jesus through the years. And so we are always looking forward to, you know, meeting you, but also the opportunity to share your prayer request and the burdens that you have in your life. And so if you've got unsaved loved ones that you're praying for, we would love to join you in praying for them. Or if you're sick and need prayer, we'd love to join you in praying the prayer of faith and watching the Lord do great things on your behalf. So our church is located two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're kind of in the heart of the old Merritt Park Place area. There's a new Cuban restaurant that's going to be opening up across the street. It's called Ola Cuban Cuisine. And if you stop in to frequent them when they are up and running, you're going to get great food, but it would also give you an opportunity to see where we are at. And so if you are new to the area, or are looking to just grow in your faith and would like to become a part of a small but vibrant congregation that has a big heart to be a blessing to God, be a blessing to our families, the church, and the community, we would love to have you come and worship with us. So back to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read from chapter 5, verse number 12, down through chapter 6, verse number 3. And it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So I like to point out that God wants to teach us, and he teaches us layer upon layer. And Isaiah, it's talked about that the people had restricted, you know, so if you've heard people talk about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That comes from Isaiah, and God was restricted because of their heart, because of their They were hesitant to allow God to reveal himself and his truths to them at too fast a pace. And so they were very, very step-by-step oriented. Well, I want you to know that God does continue to teach us in layers, but it is upon our willingness to say, okay, God, you set the pace, you help me to learn, and I will mature as fast as I possibly can. So, you know, at one point in time, there was a movie that won an Academy Award, I believe, called From Here to Eternity. Well, when it comes to learning the spiritual principles of God's kingdom and how they operate and influence our natural lives, the goal is really from here to maturity. And that is what the goal is. But if you do not get the basic principles down, then you're going to not necessarily reach that level of perfection or completeness or maturity that God wants for us. So we were starting to talk about some of these elementary principles of Christ, and we talked about how, you know, you have to know who Jesus is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the beginning of knowledge. You got to know God. And so that is the goal. And the more that you know him, the more it leads you to a lifestyle of repentance from dead works, works that have no life in them. So I want to do things that are going to be filled with the life of God, that are going to bring people into a deeper walk with God, that brings me into a deeper walk with God. And so sometimes there are things that are dead that we have to leave behind so that God can bring us to those works and purposes that he created for us to do by faith, that are going to result in life and praise and glory being brought to the Lord. So repentance is absolutely essential. And then it goes on and it says, and of faith toward God. I've said this before. It's not original with me. It's biblical. It's church historical. The truth is this: the just shall live by faith. God gives to every person the measure of faith. There is no one under the sound of my voice that has not had that gift instilled in them by God. It's a matter of what are you going to do with it? Are you going to access it? Or are you just going to let it lay dormant there? So, in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. In the New Testament, Paul writes, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther wrote, the just shall live by faith. And you and I are still called to live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about these people throughout human history who lived by faith. By faith they did this, by faith they did that. And so faith is not just meant to be utilized to get out of bed on Sunday morning and to make it to church so that you can, you know, fulfill your religious duty. It is a privilege to be able to gather for worship. And when you bring your faith that God has bestowed upon you, and I bring my faith, we are able to influence one another, and we're able to believe God for great things. A lot of people will dust off their faith whenever a crisis happens, whether it's a physical crisis. That's the most frequent. Whenever a loved one is sick, all of a sudden, you know, if they haven't accessed their faith in a long time or utilized their faith in a long time, they'll start praying and praise God. Thank God he gave you the faith. And so decades ago, I had a person that came to church and they told me this: I don't believe anything the way that you believe it, except for you believe that you believe in divine healing. And so that was their reason for being at Merit Assembly of God, is because we had faith for people to be healed. We have faith that you don't have to despise small beginnings, that God can do things through anyone, anywhere, at any time, and it's not based upon our emotions. It is based on the nature of God and who he is. And so the more that I come to know God, the more faith that I am going to have in what he is going to be able to do in me, through me, and for me. So that is where faith is. And so if we never develop or utilize the faith that God has given to us, we are going to continue to remain in spiritual elementary school when God would have us to go on and receive a spiritual master's degree, is how I'll put it. And by that I mean we will have an advanced education in the way of the master. And you say, well, doctor's degrees are above that. Well, you'll know that he's the great physician, and that he has a doctorate in philosophy, and a doctorate in healing, a doctorate in salvation. You will find that he is the great physician. He knows what he is doing. So faith is hearing from God, obeying God, stepping out in faith, and watching God fulfill the promises that he has made. So here in the past few months, there was a flare up in my emotions that was trying to drag me back into a hopeless type of mindset. And as I was praying about that, God said, I want you to remember the promise that I made to you. And that would have been 33, 34 years ago. And he said, I haven't forgotten the promise I made. Don't you forget the promise I made. And all of a sudden, that weapon of the enemy was neutralized and rendered powerless. And I said, God, I have faith in the promise, but I have even more faith in the promise maker. And so I want to encourage you to learn to live by faith toward God. Fear is having faith in the problems more than you have faith in the problem solver. So make sure that your faith is not just faith in faith. It is faith in the one who gave you the faith, and that is God. And he can give you a supernatural outpouring or dispensation of faith, and he can cause you to move from being a faithless person or an unfaithful person. He can raise you up to be a person that is full of faith and full of faithfulness. So verse number 2 of chapter 6 talks about moving on from the elementary principle of the doctrine of baptisms. So we, in the Assemblies of God, we believe in baptism by immersion wherever that is possible. We encourage people to give their life to Jesus as early in their life as possible, because their life will be less miserable that way, and they will be able to fulfill the purposes of God and the power of God. They'll be able to be a blessing for a larger percentage of their life than they would if they wait till the very last gasp to give their faith to Jesus. And we've seen people do that, and we rejoice and that we're going to be able to worship around the throne with them for all of eternity. But baptism, the initial baptism, is that you and I have come to that place where we know who Jesus is, that we know that we have need of Jesus, and that he has saved us by grace through faith. And so our baptism is an act of obedience to what God has commanded, that we'd go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we do. And that immersion means to be completely submerged and surrounded by whatever we are being baptized in. And so the first baptism is a baptism of water. And it says, it's an act not just of obedience, but it is an act of testimony to those in our family, those in our sphere of influence, and to the community at large, that I identify with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. And that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So there is an immersion by water. And so the word baptism, one of the associated words, was primarily used in the textile industry, where they would take a fabric and they would baptize it in a solution of dye, D-Y-E, of whatever color, and they would keep it in that condition. They would keep it immersed until the entirety of that fabric had been saturated with the dye. So if you've ever seen someone who was wearing a tie-dyed garment, you know, that was very popular back in the 70s, and it has an occasional reemergence now and then. And so that would give you a random pattern of fibers that were baptized in a colored solution, and you would get some interesting colors and pattern combinations that you wouldn't get in traditional manners. So being baptized doesn't just mean that Jesus has influenced my spirit, but he's also Lord over my mind, Lord over my emotions, and Lord over my physical being, so that my body is no longer an instrument of unrighteousness. It's now an instrument of righteousness for the glory of God. Jesus also said that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so we are thankful that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We do not believe that was just a historical outpouring for the disciples. We believe that Jesus loves the lost as much in 2025 as he did in the year 25. And the Holy Spirit is the member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is responsible for dealing with unbelievers' hearts so that they will ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life. The Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus, and Jesus always points people to the Father. And so in the book of Acts, chapter 2, there was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel chapter 2, where the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again, that means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, to where he is no longer just inside of us, but now he controls the environment that surrounds us. So it is a spiritual environment. It is a environment where we're empowered by God. So we focus on what he's able to do, not on just what we are able to do. His resources are unlimited. Our resources are limited. But when we're walking in covenant with him and we're immersed in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can also experience frequent refillings of the Holy Spirit. And those are seasons of refreshing. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that demonic spirits are, operating to the fullest extent of their capacity to try and drag people into a godless eternity for misery and suffering with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, also wants to operate through believers to see those same people acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ and spend eternity with him in a Jesus-filled eternity, enjoying the presence of God and the benefits thereof. So there's also a baptism of fire there, that is a purifying factor. So if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, there's going to be an urgency. If you've ever been in a situation where there was a fire that broke out in a place that it could be devastated, we had the California wildfires here, a couple of months ago, that if you see that, it will reprioritize your life in a heartbeat. Things that you thought you couldn't live without, now you will realize I've got to leave those behind, because if not, I'm not going to live. Well, a baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, means that we want to live as purified as we can. And so when it says here that it's a faith toward God of the doctrine of baptisms, there are multiple areas. There's the baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire, and we want to live as purely, as holy as we can be, because I do not want to be a stumbling block for anyone around me. I wish that I could say that I had never been a stumbling block, but that would not be an adequate or accurate reflection of my personal testimony. Sometimes my timing has been bad in things that I said. Sometimes God put up a stop sign for me to stop talking, and I blew through the stop sign and created a problem. And so when I'm led by the Holy Spirit and I've got the unction of the Holy Spirit, God not only determines the destination, but he determines the pace and he determines the timing. So don't make the same mistakes that I have. Don't blow through the red lights. Instead, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when he says, let's let that seed rest for a little while, let's let the Holy Spirit take the seed that's been planted and break up the fallow ground of their heart. That's now what I try and do. So it goes on in verse number 2, and it adds another layer, and it says, of laying on of hands, and that means we're not supposed to be in this journey alone. A lot of times people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you don't, But it's a lot harder. When we came to Brevard County many decades ago, we came with a job, not a great paying job, but a job. And we came with a call of God upon our life, but we didn't come with much in the way of resources, and we didn't have a network of friends when we got here. We developed those in the house of God. And I remember in those first few years saying, you know, I don't know how people thrive spiritually without having a local group of believers that they can fellowship with, that they can link arms with in their journey. So there's a lot more to laying on of hands than what I'm going to be able to discuss here in this in today's broadcast. We'll have to pick that up on Monday. But I can tell you this, you're supposed to know the people that you are linked arms with. And so through the years, I learned this very painfully when the scripture says, know them that labor among you. I've experienced some things through those early years where it's like, you know, God, you really are very wise in the things that you tell us. So there is a responsibility that we have in the body of Christ to build relationships with one another. The book of Acts was not just about the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through an individual. It was about the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through the church as it was to make the church what Jesus wanted it to be. And so believers were added in multitudes. You know, Barnabas is one of my favorite people in the church of that time period. His name was actually Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, and they nicknamed him the Son of Encouragement. That everywhere Barnabas went, he was picking people up and advancing them in their walk with faith. That comes from people who say, you know what, I am not in this thing alone. I am a member of the body of Christ, and I want to know people. And so I tell people, you know, the degree of our relationship is determined by how close you're allowing a person to get. If you've always got a person at arm's length, they're never going to know the real you. And Jesus wants you to know others and wants them to know you. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your